forward.
All right, this is side two of the second interview with Mr. Stanley Rosenbaum on March the 16th. We're continuing with side two, and we're going to be talking with Mr. Rosenbaum on what he views as his greatest accomplishments and successes in life. Could you repeat what you just said a few minutes ago, Mr. Rosenbaum?
Well, what I think is the way that I've tried to live my life was to be in a moral, ethical way, to be sincere with people, and the ability to relate to people and to make friends, and to look forward rather than backward. And to me, that's about the only way that you can exist. If you look back all the time, you can only create problems for yourself.
I agree with you. I think that's the way I would define success also. Not so much in monetary terms, although that often goes with it, but the other things that you said, to
well,
me, that's a successful person. And things have gone real well. All right, the last thing that we wanted to talk about was how you view Pittsburgh Jewish life today as opposed to when you were growing up. Do you think there are any major differences?
What do you mean in what term? What term do you mean in Jewish life?
Well, socially, politically, economically, all of those sorts of things that we come to associate with the culture. In other words, participation in the community and influence in terms of what happens within the community. And that influence can come from a political way, strictly speaking, in terms of politics. It certainly can come from using the manpower of the Jewish community. It can come from concerted effort in terms of using funds, etc., and anything like that.
Can you restate the question again?
All right. How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life or its Jewish community?
Changed or not from what it was years
yes.
ago.
Now, as opposed to when you were growing up.
Oh, I think it is much more advanced in all segments of it, due to the not only the character of the people, but the higher educational level of the community as a whole. One area, though, that I do think that the vast majority of us tend to forget, and that has to do with maintaining a certain feeling towards our backgrounds. We become so Americanized that we accept so many things for granted that we just don't tend to realize the problems that our forebears had in coming to this country, becoming Americanized, and as a result, we tend to undervalue certain things. That is, a certain amount of community obligation, religious affiliation, things like that. I'm not saying everybody has to be religious, but they should be supported. The talk of assimilation, there is that with everybody, and I think everybody sooner or later has to come to terms with it. The older they get, I think the more people, although they won't admit it, probably think about it. And that's when you see a regression, not a regression, a return to certain fundamental things. I don't care what religion you are, that people go to seek. There's no question that people belong to a, for most people, a congregational life is good. I mean, you get together with people, whether you, for certain activities, and you feel at home, you feel more secure. So whether the community today is any different, well, it has to be different because of the way of life we lead, and the mobility. And all these factors enter into the fact that it is harder, I think, for people to lead a life unless they decide they want to have certain ways of doing it, certain goals that they want to attain.
All right. I just had one other relatively specific question. Would you say that the Jewish community here in Pittsburgh, and this is in your experience, is more closely knit now, less assimilated with the larger community at this particular point, or when you were very young? For instance, we were talking about people coming from Europe and wanting to be American rather than identifying with traditional Jewish values, whatever. I see now, and of course this is a very limited experience, that some of my friends who are Jewish are turning to more orthodox ways of living, more traditional ways of living that perhaps in the earlier part of this century might have been considered too old country by the immigrants, and they might have wanted to resist this, not identify themselves as being different from the community at large. How would you feel about this in general, in terms of what's happening in Pittsburgh? And this is in your experience.
Well, what I think and what is happening are two different things.
It's true.
I don't know.
Well, just
I don't know.
What you think? What you think? Because sometimes what you think and what is happening is the same thing, and sometimes it isn't the same thing, as you said before.
Well,
so this
I think
is according
there is
to
more,
you.
Yeah, you mentioned the fact that I don't know whether they're returning to orthodoxy. They're returning to more of a religious practice. So whether I want to get my thought together on that. I'm not that knowledgeable about this. If you'd ask me a question, do you think that certain segments of the community have, I would say yes.
Fine. Why don't you tell us then?
But that makes no difference. I mean, there's a segment of the population, and it's up to them. Some people want to return to certain things. Other people want to forget them. And there are many changes, but of course that's the way everybody lives.
Mm-hmm.
I have no quarrel with that. I've changed myself.
Sure. I guess that's what life is all about.
Well, I don't know whether that's philosophical or not, not or sociological, but I can't quarrel with a person whatever they want to practice or whatever they want to do.
No, that's a good answer, because it's from your point of view and in your opinion.
Is what?
Everything that you have been talking about is how you see things from your point of view or in your opinion. So if this is your opinion, it's fine. That's very good. Do you have anything else that you would like to add to this?
No, except I don't have much of interest in the point that
go ahead.
Thing.
Why don't you tell us the things that we were discussing before we started taping. Tell us a little bit more about that.
You mean these points that that I brought?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, because if you talk to the people my age, I think a lot of them have the same experience. Here you're thrust into an area at a young age, 7, 8, 9 years old, in a different community. As far as I was concerned, I didn't know it was a different community. And all of a sudden, your parents tell you, well, now you're not going to go to school tomorrow. It's Yom Kippur. Well, then they have to write a note to the teacher. And I say, how can I do that? Well, you understand it's not a vacation. It's a very serious holiday, it's explained to me. So, all right, I stay. I go back to school the next day, and some of the children say, "Oh, you had a day vacation." Well, I don't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to answer it. And the teachers were tolerant. That's a very interesting thing that comes up. While there might have been some comment among the board of education how to handle Jewish holidays, you see, they were suddenly faced with a very large number of Jewish children in the school system. And while some of the teachers could have resented, I never saw it too much, and there never was a question. The major holidays, taken out of school, went to services. This is an aside. At some point in time during the one or two days that it was celebrated, the parents had a problem on their hands. And that's, what do you do with the children? I don't know what they did hundreds of years ago with youngsters, but the children would get nervous and restless, say, "All right, yes, you can read a book. You can't play music. You can't write. You want to take a walk, go take a walk." I think the mother had the burden. The father, as a rule, didn't pay too much attention. It was up to the mother to keep the child occupied. You ran into some anti-Semitism, one or two experiences in that, among classmates, or not necessarily classmates, other children in the neighborhood. And for instance, there were two families in an area in which I lived, and the boys in that group would pummel me, would jump on me when I went by, until one day I got so angry that I fought back with one, and that was the end of it. Nobody bothered me any. So I learned a lesson early that you can take it only so much, and then you do your thing or whatever you think is best. And I think I so surprised this one kid that he didn't know what hit him, and I didn't know either. But all I know is he fell on the ground and he cried, and that was the end of it. And from that time on, I never left him alone either. But the other thing that I thought might be of interest in that same vein. Here you have neighbors, children, and adults. Christmas time comes. What do they do, and how do you react? I'm only speaking from my experience, and I'm sure some of the other families we know did the same thing. So the non-Jewish children are saying, "Christmas tree, we want to get presents," and so forth and so on. The nearest we ever came to anything like that, my family never had a Christmas tree, or they called them Hanukkah bushes, whatever they wanted to call them, to get around. It's a beautiful tree, they had them. But we didn't, and that was in the minority. Maybe a handful of people did it in those days. Today, it's different. Not many people do have them. It's a pretty simple. So, anyway, to get back to what I'm talking about, so that we didn't feel out of it, my parents let us hang a stocking. And they would fill it with fruit and nuts and candies. And the morning we got up, there was a stocking full. So we could tell our kids, yes, Santa Claus visited us, and we had something. And that was the extent of it. And we never asked any more questions. And the fact that I could say to the children, "Santa Claus visited me," that settled a lot of things. And then I would be invited over to see their house, and I can remember vividly the first time I saw a Christmas tree. My eyes must have boggled, and the idea of it and the presents under the trees. And I think the kids were just as confused about us as we were confused about them. And as far as social status, or the social feeling among neighbors, the Jews were tolerated. See, there would be some who were very friendly and some who were not. There wasn't too much mingling going on between neighbors. Yes, your neighbor next door, maybe the women would exchange pies or cakes once in a while. That wasn't too common. But to get back to the holidays, everybody was very circumspect in how they celebrated it. And they watched their children and didn't let them run wild on the street, because the first thing they said, look, if you're letting your children run wild on the street, it's no holiday to begin with, and you're subject to criticism, and rightfully so. So most kids were sit down, and they stayed put.
What about services?
We went to services at the temple. Now, you mean home services?
No. Weren't the children involved in services at temple, or was this after services?
Well, this is after services. Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, that's, for instance, you went to services in the morning, and you had the afternoon. And I said, Mom, can I go to a movie? No way. You know, read a book. Read a book till 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. But that didn't last too long. Everybody got liberated. I mean, I'm talking about afterwards. And everybody understood. And there were one or two problems, which probably some people would say couldn't have happened. There were some problems when, in grade school, or some of them, one or two of the non-Jewish children would take the holiday off, and their parents never knew. They played hooky. They said they were Jewish. And they stayed away. But that wasn't very, very widespread. But it happened. So I thought that was a little aside, because it was a traumatic experience in the beginning with the children. The parents realized it. And I don't think they ever realized until the child asked them, what about this or what about that, how to handle it or what to do. The rabbi certainly didn't tell you unless you asked him. And there it was. I don't know whether you ran into any of that same thing. And I guess they just handled it, that was all. It was very low-key.
Well, thank you very much. We've enjoyed this a lot, especially the last part. It was quite interesting to hear of your experiences, and I know my husband has talked of his experiences growing up in the Philadelphia area, and he lived in an area that was almost entirely Jewish. It wasn't mixed at all. And his experiences were a little different, but somewhat similar. And nevertheless, that's an aside. But this has been really wonderful speaking with you. And I can't think of anything else that we need to ask right now offhand. Can you, Bernice?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Rosenbaum. We have a few other things here that we need to talk with you about, but I don't think we need to have that on tape now. And thank you.
All right.
Really enjoyable.
Very enjoyable experience. Thank you.
This is the end of Take 2, Side 2.